So what are we going to be talking about today? Any ideas?
I figured we'd talk about the NCAA tournament. You had a few good posts about that. I figured I'd talk about the state basketball tournament. I don't know. Anything else you'd like to talk about? We talked about our 50th birthday trip.
That's true. Yeah, it's funny. I was thinking maybe we should talk about stuff that we would just never talk about. Like things that we think about writing about, but we never write about.
I think that's great.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's terrific.
Like a while back, I did all this research for a post about the Connecticut women's basketball team, and I lost total interest. I was like,
I do that all the time.
I have no interest.
I do that all.
You never posted who won the state tournament, did you?
I think I did. I think it's in the comments, yeah.
There's no comment. On the two teams left one, there's no comments. So I'm still waiting. You can reveal on the show.
Maybe I'll reveal on the show. I think it's in there. I thought it showed.
Maybe you put it in the Final Four one.
I might have done that.
I can.
That's very possible. Let's see. I added a bunch of pictures. Oh my gosh, you're right! That's hysterical. Okay, well, I'll reveal. I guess I didn't. I thought I had. That's funny.
I liked your whole rant about charter schools and public schools.
Yeah, that's what I did. I just wrote all that into the... I did. Yeah, yeah. If you scroll back into the comments of that one, you'll see that I just, like, I mistakenly put it in the wrong post.
Oh, so you did reveal in there.
Did. That's okay. I'll talk about that in the...
How did I miss that?
Okay.
I thought I had kept up with all those comments. Oh, okay. BG beats Cooper.
Yeah.
You know what? I guess I went back in there and I was reading that stuff. I somehow I missed the score.
Yeah.
I missed that that was the finals. That's funny.
Yeah. I mean, I completely understand. It doesn't indicate that, yeah, well.
It doesn't matter.
By the way, I think that this should just be like how we start the show. It's just start talking. I do. Because it's going to be just for us.
Well, I understand that. But, you know, it's still nice to have an introduction. Like, I'm Eric, whatever we do. I don't even remember what we did last time. Anyhow, I know what you mean. We could do that. I could just fade into us talking.
Yeah, for more than a feeling.
We could try that this week. We'll just fade in. And,
okay.
And
so
we would have probably already faded in by now. We'll just be talking about how we could fade into us talking about fading in. But
are you already recording?
Yeah, oh yeah, it's been recording.
Okay, well, great.
As soon as we connect, it's recording. So.
Okay. Well, you want me to talk about the state basketball tournament first, then, since we're already talking about it?
Sure.
All right. So I was totally wrong. So this is Eric, and on the second podcast, I was totally wrong about
the defending Bowling Green champs.
That's right. That's right. Two in a row for Bowling Green. No. Bowling Green did not win the 2016 championship, but they did win the 2017 championship. So the state high school boys basketball tournament. This was the 100th Sweet 16. And so Kentucky is I guess one of the rarities now that we have a single class. We have no class system for high school basketball. We just have one boys basketball champion and one girls basketball champion. And this has always been true. And this year we had our 100th state tournament, and the winner was Bowling Green, and it was their first ever state championship. So congratulations to the Bowling Green Purples. There you go. And they beat a team that also has never won one, and from Northern Kentucky called Cooper. They're from a town called Union. They're the Jaguars, and so the final was 67-56, which I didn't I paid attention actually to a good bit of the tournament up until that point, but on Sunday it was when the championship was. I know nothing about the game because the High School Athletic Association had the poor luck that their game was opposite University of Louisville's and University of Kentucky's.
That's happened before.
What's that?
That's happened before.
Yeah.
That's just bad luck.
They actually had, I think they had about 11,000 and change in the building for the championship.
That's great for the championship game.
And, you know, who cares? Whatever. As long as we keep having it, you know, whatever. The people that were there, they were excited, people who paid attention. And so anyway, yeah.
I can remember, it seems like I can remember, and maybe I'm remembering this wrong, but, you know, Mom used to always have the TV going on the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And then she would have the radio going on the basketball
when
it was going on at the same time. And, of course, then there for a short time, she had two TVs going on the NCAA tournament. But she used to always have the radio going on the state tournament, I remember. Then she lost interest in sports. So I don't know what happened. But.
Well, they used to, until just like 2 years ago, I think it's just been 2 years now. Of course, I was wrong about who even won the championship last year, so I don't know why you would think I would know that this would be true. But they formerly played both the semifinals and the final on the same Saturday. They would play the semifinals in the morning, and then they'd come back in the,
yeah,
I guess.
That sounds right to me. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they absolutely did that. That was just a very recent change. And now they've gone to the semifinals on Saturday evening and then the championship on Sunday early afternoon. I think they tipped off at 2 Eastern this year so that then everybody can get back home, you know, from Lexington after the game, which I think is, you know, I think that's fine. I mean, I think that's a good way to do it. It was just poor luck. I mean, I actually missed the UK game too. I just had other stuff going on.
You just don't like Kentucky sports anymore.
That's right. Believe it or not, we had to go to an art gallery reception on Sunday afternoon. That's the truth.
Yeah.
There you
go.
That's what I was doing. I was actually quite glad to see that. I was glad that Bowling Green won, and ever since we had talked about them at the last. On the last podcast, and you had asked the question, you know, like how you did not remember Bowling Green being dominant in any sort of high school.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't have any answer to that. I got interested in that myself and kind of like tried to nose around a little bit and really didn't find a satisfying answer. I asked Jason Frakes, who's the guy at the Courier Journal who covers high school sports. He statewide. And he's a Bowling Green High grad and native. He had picked at the beginning of the Sweet 16 this year, picked the final and the champion. So good for Jason.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. That's pretty really cool. It's pretty tough to do. And, anyway, he said, I forget what he said. What is it? Got it in a comment here. Okay, he said, good run of athletes in football/hoops, expanded classes allowed to dominate 5A football, strong coaches. He was busy when I asked him. He was working when I asked him, and so I don't know if he'd stand by that answer, but if he really thought about it. I wonder about...
So he says the rise of football sort of bleeding over to the rise of other stuff.
Yeah, I think what he would say is that the expanded class system, we went from 4 to 6 football
classes. Right.
A couple of, you know, I don't know, it's been maybe 6 years ago now. Created a window for, it may have been longer than that, but it created a window for, Bowling Green in football. And that I think he, would say, that the basketball coach is just really good, DG Sherrill. So they've been, even though they did not win a state championship before, they have been in the tournament pretty consistently for the state tournament now for several years.
Well, remember when we were in, Maybe we were still in high school. Maybe it was after we left high school. Paducah Tillman started this weird run of dominating the track championships, right?
Yeah.
I think they won like 6 or 7 years in a row.
Right.
And at one point, they even moved them up in a class. And apparently, from what everybody said, it was just essentially, it was for no other reason except to get them out of the class they were dominating.
Oh, is that right?
And then they still won. And apparently, and that bled over, you know, into their, they had those good football teams during that run. They made a pretty deep run into the basketball, I think, one of those years with all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny how one thing can kind of trigger other stuff. But
yeah, yeah. I think that's right. I mean, I don't think I think there's some other things. I mean, Warren County is it's the where Bowling Green is. It's the fifth largest county in the state.
Right.
And they have a process, and I don't know how long this has been around, but they have a process where you can they have like a reciprocal. There's Bowling Green Independent Schools, but then there's also Warren County Schools, and they have some kind of reciprocal agreement to where you can apply to attend the city schools, regardless of where you live in the county. So, I mean, when you think about, you know, if basically all the sports-minded kids in Warren County, in the fifth largest state, have the access to all pile up into one school, that's phenomenal. You know, that's a huge amount.
Yeah.
I mean, to some degree, that would be even a greater advantage than what, you know, Trinity or St. X would have in Louisville, Jefferson County, because there's no tuition. So,
has Bowling Green grown a lot since you were in college, or was it always that big?
No, it was not. I don't know how. Let's see. I looked this up, and I'm obviously going to get this wrong, but I was looking this up on Wikipedia in terms of the demographics, and it's had like two decades of, I think over the course of the 1990s, I think Bowling Green grew by like 19%, and in the 2000s, it grew by like another 20%.
That's a big number in Kentucky.
That's a huge number. And but as recently as like, I'm starting to get my stories confused. I was about to start talking about Scott County when I was still talking about Warren. But so it has grown, and it has this like, you know, reciprocal agreement across the county to where kids can go basically wherever they want to. It doesn't sound like it's some big, have to be approved or anything like that. You just have to meet the application deadlines. And I don't know the details of the process, but it didn't look like it, just a little bit. And I don't know if that's a new, I don't know if that's a new thing, if that's changed since, 1995 or whatever, or if that's always been the case, but anyway, those are two pretty big factors. And
back on, now that we're talking about population again.
Yeah.
Population theory. have you ever heard Kornheiser and his population theory on soccer?
No.
He talks about this on PTI all the time. He just thinks the U.S. should beat all these smaller countries because we have more people.
Right.
So the whole population theory. But I got to thinking after we talked about Madisonville last week and their population, and this is just my own curiosity now at this point, is the city really small as compared to the county? You know what I mean? Like, because the county, I would assume, is a lot of people, a lot more people than, 20,000.
Yeah.
I got to thinking about that after we talked. I thought, 19,000 people is just not a lot of people.
Right. So the county population in 2013 was 46,634. Now let me look again at the Madisonville population. And it was, in 2013, was 19,791. So there were more people living, and the city population counts towards that total county population. So
that sounds a lot like Paducah in the sense that, the county has, like, McCarkey County is what, they got to be close to 60,000 now. But Paducah, I don't think Paducah's ever gotten over. Well, what's it say now? So it says now Paducah's like around 25,000. So
okay, and the county population is 65,373. So there's it's similar. A very similar ratio. Yeah, it's a very similar ratio. So
what about speaking about Paducah? So, and this is getting way off topic.
Okay.
The Alvin Barkley Regional Airport.
Yeah.
Do they still have flights in there? Do they still have a regular flight in from Nashville? I assume that's where they fly in from. Would be Nashville, right?
Well, I think they've gotten more. Where do they fly? What flies in there now? Let's see if I can get that real quickly. I don't know. I've never flown in or out of Paducah.
We had cousins of ours fly up from Tennessee one time.
That's exciting.
In the 70s. Yeah, they wanted to go on a flight. You know, they wanted to fly on an airplane. They had never done that before.
Absolutely.
And, back then, you know, you could fly. They flew pretty big planes into there.
Probably Ozark Airlines was probably what they were flying. And I think, I don't know who flew in there. No, they do not fly into Nashville. Right now, the only airline is United Express. According to Wikipedia, the only airline is United Express, and two daily depart to Chicago.
So interesting. All that drug running to Chicago. That's odd, Chicago. I would have thought they would bump them into Nashville, and then they would use Nashville as a hub. I mean, because here, like in Moscow, every flight. We only have one flight. It goes to Seattle, three times a day, maybe.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You could fly out of Paducah to go into Spokane if you wanted to. They're very expensive.
Yeah, it is. I think that the price difference into these little regional airports have actually come down. It seems like to me, I fly out of Evansville quite a bit now, and they've just got a handful of flights. But when I go for business, I almost always just go out of Evansville, because once you factor in the drive and that sort of thing, it's about as cost effective. Dad used to fly out of the Chicago airport or the Paducah airport quite a bit, you know, for business stuff. Of course, he was probably flying to Chicago because that's where the main company he did work for was based. So. He used to go out there and eat at that restaurant sometimes, just to go eat.
That's expensive, though. Paducah to Chicago is like $450.
Yeah, it's expensive.
That's pretty pricey. Of course, that was looking at this week. You know, maybe if you look ahead,
right,
it's cheaper.
Right, right. Far enough out and do all the tricks.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, we used to just drive out there and have supper sometimes at that restaurant at the airport.
It's $200 if you go a month out. It's $200 from Paducah to Chicago and back. It's a round trip. So that's not bad.
That's not bad, actually.
That's true. You guys used to. I remember when you used to do that. So.
We used to go to the Kmart, eat at the Kmart sometimes.
There you go. That one Kmart cafeteria was good.
Oh, yeah.
It was very good. I don't know. It's a shame that kind of stuff just. You know, we were talking about this the other day. So this here, I forget the question how this came up, but the idea was you have access to a food that you normally don't have access to.
Yeah.
And so you tend to overeat it, you know, like you overdo with it.
Sure.
And when we used to go to the state park, the Barkley, for lunch every so often on a Sunday, you know, Dad would always come back with like four desserts, all of them would have whipped cream piled on top.
Good for
we never made homemade whipped cream.
That's fantastic.
But it's a shame that those places. I'm now really sounding like an old folky.
So it's like
getting close to my age 50. But
it's like Slaw at Applebee's or Ruby Tuesday.
It's kind of. I do think it's sad that that those restaurants at the state parks were really they really lost to the boom of like restaurants and stuff, you know, chain restaurants. You know, it's Paducah got, I mean, Paducah has so many restaurants now.
Yeah.
Why take the time to drive to Lake Barkley and eat, you know, eat at the state park?
They still get, you know, the state did some kind of study. I'm going to get all the facts of this wrong, but anyway. And it bridged the Governor Beshear's and Governor Bevin's administrations. But they looked into all this, and Governor Bevin now has, like, identified that the state is – I mean, they've done a lot of refreshing of the state parks. That's, I think that's what the term they used was, refreshing, because they see them as revenue centers. You
right.
know,
yeah.
They're still pretty – they do okay. They did some stuff like – they reduce the, they don't do the buffets, you know, the big buffets in the restaurants as much as what they did. And they shut down more in the winter. Some of them do. Most of the parks shut down in the winter, or at least they have more limited open hours, stuff like that, but they're still firing. And I got to tell you, that catfish on Friday nights at the buffet, and all the state parks have the same menu at each one. They're all quite consistent. And, man, it is fantastic. And we go, you know, 4 or 5 times a year. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
That's cool.
So
that was always our big one treat. You know, we would go usually around Mother's Day. And I remember the line would be literally out the door.
Oh, Mother's Day. Yeah. We go every year for Mother's Day. And it's still, I mean, it's a huge line. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's down really here good. At Dawson Springs at the park at Penny Royal State Park in, in Dawson Springs. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. The banana pudding is great at state parks.
I've never been a big banana pudding fan.
Well, I'm not. It's the only place I eat it. But they
is it the hot or the cold?
It's the hot.
Okay.
It's the hot with a meringue, and I'm pretty sure they're using mayonnaise in the banana pudding. And
what?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, man.
I think that's just the bacteria buildup.
No, I'm thinking they got some mayonnaise in there. It's really good. I'm gonna that may be a question I need to research for
they're not gonna give out their secret recipe, obviously.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
So what's your
I
was just gonna say, so what's your method? What's method one?
Model one?
Yeah. Model
one. I can't reveal my secrets. Well, I can tell you this. It's heavily based around Sagrin.
Okay.
Because when I started doing this, like, I don't know, 10 years ago, Sagrin was really the only computer model out there that was easy to get access to.
Yeah.
And I guess I've been doing that. I guess I've had that database that I've been using since the 90s. So, and back then, Sagrin was kind of it.
Okay.
You know, as far as I remember.
Yeah.
And so it is based pretty heavily on Sagrin. That's probably why Sagrin and Model 1 are so close at the top.
Sure.
To each other. The other models I built a couple of years ago, and honest to God, I don't even remember how they're structured. That's the sad thing.
That's great.
I had this vision, you know, I had this vision that I was going to, because now you can get tons of data. You know, you could get data for every player on every team if you want to.
Yeah.
And I had this vision at one point I was going to build this whole robust, like, structure. But then I quickly decided that's stupid. So I just threw together a couple of different models that just mostly bases around, like, points scored, points against.
Yeah.
Looks at some of the numbers from Pomeroy, Ken Pom, and some of the numbers from Sagrin for different things. And last year, Model 2 actually outperformed Model 1. So it's interesting to see the difference this year.
Do you remember if any of your models has ever outperformed Sagrin?
Always. It's always outperformed Sagrin.
Wow.
So it'll be interesting to see. And I've always outperformed KenPom. At least Model 1 has.
Yeah.
So I'll be curious to see if, you know, if that's different this year. I mean, part of that comes down to the fact that, you know, like, you look at KenPom. I mean, he had Gonzaga ranked as the best team in the country. And, you know, since I'm just going down and saying, okay, this is his rating at the beginning of the tournament, and basically where he has teams ranked, that's who I'm picking to win.
Right.
And I'm not sure he does that. See, I think KenPom, like, if he were to actually run it out, I don't think he would necessarily get Gonzaga as his winner.
Right.
Because, you know, he does this whole, like, team versus team analysis thing. And Sagrin has started doing that now, too. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know when's the last time you looked at Sagrin.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even find it anymore unless you search for it.
Yeah, it used to be in USA Today, right?
It's still there, but they've kind of buried it.
Okay.
I mean, I don't understand why.
Right.
But he has started doing now a daily pick. So it's just like he's essentially competing with KenPom.
Yeah.
On that front. So.
So I would be inclined, I think that if I was going to do this, I think I would try backwards engineering like the most recent tournament. And what I would do, I think, is look at the results and then, you know, try to figure out what were the statistical commonalities among the winners, you know.
Right. No, that makes sense. But,
so, like, I would look at – I think what I would do is start with, like, you know – teams that have, you know, four players who shoot better than 45% from the field, you know, something like that. If they have four starters that are doing that, then what's that mean, you know? Or, you know, total team assists per game. You know, how often does the team that averages more assists per game win?
Well, the one I always keep coming back to is the Connecticut win. The last time they won, was that the Kimball Walker run?
Yeah.
And I always come back to that one because I always think, like, you can't, no matter what model you use, I don't think you could predict this guy getting this hot that long of an extended period of time and winning the tournament. It's like NC State. You know, when NC State won the tournament, I mean, how – there's no computer model in the world that would have predicted that.
Right, right.
You know, it just wouldn't happen. So, but I think you're right. I think analyzing, like, if you could go back over 10 years and do a data analysis of the winning, of the, say, the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
And then the Final Four. And if you could see kind of anomalies between the Final Four and the Sweet 16 teams, I think you're right. I think that would be really cool. Like,
that would be fun.
Yeah. You can,
Well, there's your project for next week.
Nobody has time.
Fourth podcast. I know that you and I agree on this. This is just fun to talk about because we agree. It's just ridiculous that the conferences are weighted differently by the jive of how the tournament field gets.
I'm glad you brought this up because I was looking at this last night. So, you know, every year, the last 2 years, I've done this thing about the SEC performance in the tournament and how, you know, they're consistently viewed as a bad basketball conference. But going into last year, they had not only the highest winning percentage in the tournament, but they had the highest percentage of teams to make it into the Final Four.
Okay.
Over the last 11 years.
Hmm.
So I went in last night and added in, and I'll have to see if I can remember where I stored this. But I went in last night and added in the last year's results.
Okay.
And, of course, last year, I don't know if you remember, but last year they had that crazy, the ACC had that crazy run where they put, like, what, four teams in the tournament or something like that? Or in the Final Four, rather.
Mm-hmm.
So last year pushed the ACC up. So now the team with the best winning percentage over the last 12 years is the ACC, right? But they average, and they average 5.4 teams a year.
Okay.
Getting in. The team with the lowest average getting in every year is still the SEC. They get 4.3 teams a year. But the SEC averages putting 15% of those teams into the Final Four.
Okay.
Where right. the ACC averages putting 11% of their bids into the Final Four. So.
Well, you know.
I just think it's stupid. You can't go in, but this happens every year where you get this, like, from the beginning of the year, there was yeah. this mindset, the ACC is right. the best conference. The ACC is the best conference. And so they end up getting 9 teams in.
Right.
And a team like Illinois State gets left out just because they want to put 9 teams from the ACC in.
Yeah, I know. It's insanity. Yeah. I mean, that you could have a start. I mean, that no kids would figure out. I mean, if you got together a committee of, like, you know, 10, 11-year-olds and said, okay, put together a basketball tournament. You know, there's no way they would come up with anything near this right, where right. you would, like, say, okay, these are all – you know, all conferences in the same division, but we're going to say that this conference, just based on them playing each other, that they look better than this other conference. So we're going to give this one 9 berths in and the other one 1. I mean, it's ridiculous. You just, I don't know. It's just silliness. But I think I would just absolutely be for, if you're a Division I conference, You get your regular season champion in, and you get if your tournament champion is different than your regular season champion, you get both of them in, and then that's the number of automatic berths, however many that works out to, and then you have this like fluctuating number of at large is to 64. So, you know, I think there's 31, aren't there? I think there's like 30 conferences or something like that. Maybe there's fewer than that.
Do you remember this thing we were working on last year about around the around the states. Yeah. Like we were going to have a whole state tournament and like each state would have their own.
Yeah.
I stumbled upon that stuff last night, and I was like, wait, what? What happened? I don't remember what we did with this.
Right.
I can't even find now today. I can't even remember where I found that. But, yeah, we had this whole idea that, you know, you would take a team from each state and here we go. Let's see.
Oh yeah, here's your 2012. Oh yeah. What horrible fathers we are. Husbands and fathers.
You think so?
Oh, we're awful.
The funny thing to me is we spent all that time on it last year and I can't even remember it.
Can't remember. Yeah, it's like, sure. Yeah.
That's the sad part.
Can't find where. Yeah, that's right. I played my whole tournament based on that notion of getting the conference season. Oh, my Lord. That's all right. Well.
Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be, though, right?
That's right. Okay. So
it just reminds me of being a kid. You know, we I'm sure, like, how many projects did you start as a kid?
That's right.
That you never.
Oh, yeah, we were supposed to talk about stuff we were talking about. Hey, I got to get back to work. I'm sorry. But
no, it's okay. I'll try to find that tournament data we did last year. To find that tournament data from last year, and we'll rehash that.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good. Well, maybe we could just play the tournament.
I don't even remember how we were determining, like, who was winning what game, unless we were using, like, Play It Again or something like that.
Weren't we using What If Sports?
Yeah, maybe. That's what I meant, yeah, What If. Yeah.
Does that still exist?
Yeah, I think so.
I think you're right. I think it does.
I think it's there.
Yeah.
Oh. Well. Yeah, it's still there.
More than a feeling.
Oh man, I haven't even thought about our outgoing song this week.
Oh, that's right. We get a different one.
I'll have to think about that now. We didn't talk about your music, so I don't have anything to put on there.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, it was fun.
That was a good show.
I loved it. Okay. I'll see you later. Hey to Margaret and the kids.
Bye.